to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Top of the morning to you, Brains. I hope you're up in tip-top shape. I am. Anna, are you sitting there with your dog or maybe your cat at your feet? Maybe your pet bird is chirping in the background. Maybe there's a message that they're trying to give you that you're not able to communicate, that you're not able to receive. Maybe you had a dear departed fur baby that has passed on to the life beyond. Well, we have Frances W. Greenspan here on the edge with us, and she is an animal communicator and author who speaks with animals both here and those that have crossed over. She is an amazing author, again, like I said, of 4 books, and she is here to talk to us and tell us what she hears telepathically as she talks spiritually through these animals and to their higher source. She had a very, very interesting career in the fashion industry, and by no fault of her own, she transitioned over and she found her calling to doing this type of work. And I have so many great questions for her because y'all know, Brains, I love me some animals, all right? So we're going to bring her here on the mic with us. Welcome her, Brains, Frances Greenspan, to the Edge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, my Brains are happy to have you,
please.
And welcome.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah, so this is very, very interesting. Frances, I want to jump into something. I'm going to jump back and forth. I don't like to do a traditional lead-in because that's not going to tell the true story. But you have a gift. Did you always have this gift to be able to talk to the animals since you were a child, or did this develop in your more mature later years?
This came later. My recognizing what I received wasn't until I went to grooming school, and then I was grooming what I call a brother-sister, a little yippie poodle girl and a Lhasa Apso boy. I was in the back of a vet's office by myself, and growing up as a only child, I always spoke out loud to the animals, so it was nothing new. I finished up with the little yippie girl, and I said out loud to her, "It's your brother's turn," and I put her in the kennel. I pulled out the boy from the kennel and put him on the table, and I looked straight at him and said, "She gets all the attention, doesn't she?" And in my head, I heard, "Yep, she's mom's and I'm dad's." And it startled me, so I finished him up. I put him in the kennel, called the parents when they were ready to be picked up. I brought them forward, went in the back for something. I don't remember what. When I came back, little Yippie was in mom's arms and the boy was in dad's lap. And dad said to me, "We call him Mr. Personality." And he sounded just like the dog.
Wow.
And that started it.
Wow. And then after that, they just really kind of opened up to you and you started to hear other things.
Yes.
Tell us about your exploration and how you developed this gift.
What I was doing was experimenting with my clients without telling them what I was doing. So a gentleman whose wife was very pregnant would bring the cat in for a bathing. And when he came to pick him up, he said, "You know, we were thinking about getting another cat once the baby's here." And I heard in my head, "No." I connected and I said to the gentleman, I said, "You two have a special language." And he thought about it and he said, "You know, when we were moving from Texas to California, I was learning Japanese. So I was talking to the cat in Japanese." And I said, "You know, you may not want to get another cat." And that I just kept experimenting that way without really clearly stating to the client why I know these things or why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, because they would get freaked out, number one. They were like, oh, no, you know. This
yes.
Is. But yes and maybe no, because I'm an animal lover, and I look into Jean-Pierre, who's my dog now. I look into his eyes, and we have a conversation. And I tell my husband, you're just jealous because you can't speak bark. But there is an energy, there is a synergy that is not like no other. They don't speak our language, but the energy resonates. It's so intuitive. Now, you started your career, or, you know, your formal career in the fashion industry, and I know there's a lot of ups and downs and hirings and layoffs and all of that, but when did you say, you know, this is enough, and I'm going to pour all of my energy and my love into communicating with animals? How did you make that transition?
Well, there were many layoffs and career changes and temp jobs and various things in between, but it wasn't until after a final layoff in 2001, I went to grooming school and got really, really connected to the animals, and that incident happened, and I just kept pursuing it. And I just put myself out there with friends, experimenting, and it just was determination and experiences that I realized this is my calling and I love it, and the animals benefit, people benefit. I love helping rescues. I love helping those that are grieving, those animals that have crossed over. They don't have to be a recent crossover. They can be one that it's been many years. The animals are so excited to share their last words with them, or current words, or helping them in today's world, even if it is so many years later.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you been able to utilize animals maybe to work with the police department, you know, like they do to uncover a missing person, or someone that might be trapped, or someone that might have been murdered? Have you been able to utilize your skill there?
I haven't put myself out there yet.
Mm.
Not that I wouldn't be against it, but I haven't done it yet.
That'd be kind of scary, though. You know, I don't know. I'm wimpy when it comes to that. Some things I just don't want to know. But it's very powerful. I had another guest on my show that was a medium, and she worked with the FBI to uncover and solve, you know, murders and things of that nature. So it was pretty interesting. So how did you develop this skill? Did you work with another master teacher that helped you channel this energy and helped you really kind of understand what you were doing and what you were receiving?
What I did to start from the very beginning was take a meditation class.
Mm.
The meditation class led me to psychometry, which is where you're holding on to something from someone and tuning into that energy. That was the beginning. And this is something I do when I teach my class, is starting with various exercises that I learned in my psychic development class. And so I do these exercises because everybody receives in a different way. Some see color, some feel, some just know. And it's whatever that knowing is that you share as part of the reading.
Wow. Well, I stepped out of my comfort zone, and I asked you to do a reading for me from a dog that I've had. Now, over the years, me and Mr. Magnificent, I've adopted 13 dogs, and he told me, you can't have any more. And I told him, I can't live without a dog. I can't live without a companion. There's so much trust there, and there's, you know, when you're sick, they know that you're sick, and when you're happy, they know when you're happy, and they're grateful, all of those things. So could you share with me something that you heard or that you connected with my former dog, Oni, about our relationship? And how's she doing?
Absolutely. So I tuned in, And I will read to you our conversation. It's a very short one. Okay. So I said, "Hi, Oni, how are you?" "Oh, I'm great. I'm so happy to talk with you for my mom. Please tell her she was the best mom a dog could ever have. I loved my life with her. She fussed over me, but not in a crazy way. She loved me and treated me with respect and gave me clear boundaries. I was like a respected member of the family, no more and no less. Where I am now, I have the pleasure of watching over those that didn't have such a blessed life. I'm helping them to understand what love feels like, so when they return, they will recognize the love when it is shared with them. I will always be in Mom's heart and she in mine, energetically, of course. Much love to Mom, and thank you for doing this for her. My pleasure, Oni."
And it's odd that you say that, because I'm looking at a picture of her that I took in a T-shirt with an American Red Cross T-shirt on. So she is a lover, and she is watching over people. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, she was just a great dog. I've had, you know, so many dogs. I've even been attacked, unfortunately, by one of my dogs. What happens when you get that those different emotions? Because, again, one of the classes I think that you teach is how they communicate, and are they afraid? Or, and I'm just using dogs as an example. We'll get into cats because they are different. They're a different thing altogether. But, you know, learning their emotions, and do pets know our emotions? Do you really believe that?
Absolutely. Our pets communicate with us telepathically. Now, I'm able to receive the words. Animals will understand and hear our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions. They know when we're going to go on a vacation, on a trip, before the suitcase comes out, because they are listening to all your plans. They're listening to your excitement about where you're going to go and how long you're going to stay and where, you know, how you're going to experience whatever it is that you're excited about. They know ahead of time because of telepathic communication.
Well, another question, too, is, you know, do your pets get their feelings hurt? Absolutely. I can yell at Jean-Pierre, and I mean, just immediately he knows. Is that just basically voice tone, or is there an emotional energy that's changing there as well?
It's a combination of both. They know in the sound, in the tone, in feeling your emotions of anger. They feel that. They know. Of course, if they've done something wrong, they probably know they did something wrong to start with. But it's also how it's making you feel. They're picking up on that.
Right, right. And it's beyond loyalty.
Yes, absolutely. And just to clarify, I do all animals, and all animals have very similar energetically telepathic abilities.
I can see that in horses, cats. They have a different personality, dogs, but maybe not so much of a bird. And there's a lot of people that are bird lovers. Do you connect to birds as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, they do. They have the same levels of emotions. They're just not able to show it in the same way. But they, when we speak, they have the same connection. They absolutely have the same connections to you as a pet owner, as a pet parent. They are connected to you. They rely on you for food and love and all the things that you provide.
Wow. Well, I'm going to definitely connect you and hook you up with some other great guests that we have. We had an animal chiropractor. I had never had a chiropractor that worked on animals. She told me you do an adjustment on a cow and they'll give more milk. We had a great pet sitter. and she told me about, you know, all the different things that she's experienced. You're the first really person that I've known that has been able to work telepathically. There's been another guest that we had that has been able to talk to animals. So how has this brought you joy, brought you pleasure, and also brought pleasure to the people that you're channeling for?
I love being able to ease the pain of a rescue, assuring them that this is their forever home, that this is the last stop on the train for them. They're not going home to home to home or homeless to homeless. Knowing this, their mother loves them, their parent loves them, and they will always have food. They don't have to worry about going hungry. That this is their forever home. They're not going anyplace else. I had one client who, it was a phone reading. 6 weeks prior, she had adopted the dog. The dog would not connect with her, and she didn't understand why. On the phone, I was speaking with the client, and telepathically, I let the dog know, this is your forever home. Your mother loves you. You are not going anyplace else. On the phone, my client started crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, she just came to me. She's sitting next to me. And that was the first time she would allow her to touch her and really be close to her. So it
Wow.
absolutely works.
That's worth it. Now, is to have a channeling like this, I know each person is different, each experience is different, but is this hugely expensive?
Not at all. I do a phone reading for approximately a half an hour. It's $100 per pet. And if you are in the Orange County area of California, then I do in-home readings for $150.
Wow. That's really good. Have you ever had a scary experience where you've had a very aggressive pet channel through you?
No, not at all. I've never had an aggressive pet towards me or through me. It's generally fear. It's generally they're timid, they're afraid, and their reaction is scared, and so they may perhaps outwardly bite someone or attempt to bite because they're not sure of the situation. What are they going to do to me? Or it's from a previous rescue, you know, perhaps with, you know, they were involved with dog fighting or the horrible things that some humans have done to them. So it's not through me, it's never an anger. Fear, yes. Anger, no.
Hmm. All right. That's wonderful. That's good to know. You have another question here in your list of questions that I know is very, very true. Does the food that we feed our pets really make a difference? And let me tell you, it does. Wow,
absolutely.
Because my dog, not only just for allergies, but for temperament and for elimination, all of that.
Absolutely. Along with the food as regular walks for dogs for that digestion. Just like for us, we need our exercise to make our bodies work. And the foods, I like to recommend that the first five ingredients be real food. You should be able to recognize what that food is and that it's not filler, grains and rice and these kind of things that don't really benefit your pets. So wheat,
right.
Barley, and things you don't recognize, byproducts, we'll say.
So the books that you've written, you've had an opportunity to write four. And that is so impressive. I'm trying to see if I can coerce you into donating one of those to our monthly raffle. I would love for one of my brains to be able to connect with you. Can you do a short reading, a passage from one of your books about one of the experiences that you've had with pet parents and their fur babies?
Absolutely. One of my clients, his name was Buddy. He was a pit bull terrier. This is from my first book, What Do Your Pets Want You to Know? So the dad wanted to know why he barked so much at the brown poodle that walked by. There was a lady that always walked her poodle every day, passed by their house. And I asked Buddy what the poodle said to him that pissed him off. And he said, he called me ugly. Poor baby.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is too funny. So, as a person that's looking to connect with a pet, can you give us two or three things that, you know, when we go to the shelter, and I encourage all of us to go to shelters to support and to take those dogs out of the shelters, but what are we looking for? What are two or three key indicators when we make that eye contact with that pet to see if they connect with us and we would be good parents for them?
Definitely the eye contact and allowing them to come to you. When they feel safe, they will come to you. They read the energy of you. They know when people are good versus are they going to hurt me. And if they have been hurt in the past, they may not be able to connect just yet. So it's very important to, I believe, go through the shelters for rescues. There's also wonderful rescue groups that work with the animals to get them past that fear level and get them ready to be loved again. So many of the rescue groups are just wonderful ways to get that next step from the shelter. And there's so many rescues of specific breeds instead of going to a breeder. They're just amazing, amazing people that take them into their homes or their special places.
Right.
But let the animal come to you because they're the ones choosing you. You're not necessarily choosing them.
Right. And respect them and respect their space and the trauma that they may have been through. You know, make sure that they're age appropriate for any children that you have there. You know, they love to pull a tail or pull an ear. And, you know, animal that has been abused may recognize that as an assault instead of just friendly play. You want to definitely watch the food that you give them. Find a great shelter. I have to give a shout out to the Humane Society here in San Diego. They have 100% no euthanizing of the animals. So we do an incredible job of finding homes or finding a space for these animals. The eye contact is very important. And you know what? It's always good when you get a good butt sniffing. They can tell who you are and you can tell who they are. Tell us a little bit about your interaction with cats.
Well, cats are very much the same way, except that cats are very independent. And those cats don't necessarily want to do the things that you want them to do. And to respect that they each have their own personalities. Many times our animals pick up aspects of our personalities. So if you have multiple cats, they're not all going to behave the same. And if there's more than one person in the home, they may pick up an aspect of each of the persons and reflect what they are like. So if you have a stubborn person, if you have a very happy, happy person, these are aspects that may reflect in the personalities. Cats especially are very, very quiet, independent. Many, maybe not so quiet as they get older. I have an older cat that just likes to meow, and many times when they're meowing for no reason, it's because they're going deaf and their sounds are sounding strange to them. So it's annoying to them that they can't hear everything the way they'd like to. So
right.
If you have an older cat especially, I find they do some strange meows towards the latter years just because they're frustrated. I have an old man myself, and I just keep reminding him, yes, I know. So just deal with it.
Well, absolutely. It's like two-legged old men, too. You know, they want to screech and scratch all the time as well. Please, Frances, tell my brains how to get in contact with you and how they can go online and purchase one of your great books.
My website is the spelling of my name, so FrancesGreenspan.com.
Brains, did you get that? That is FrancesWGreenspan.com. She is an animal communicator extraordinaire. She is a lover of mankind. I thank you so much for turning it around, you know, putting a different set of clothing on us so that we can wear the love of our pet forever and beyond. You do a fantastic job. Thank you so much for being here with us on The Edge. Is there any words of encouragement that you'd like to leave us?
Just know the animals just want love and attention. That's all they're asking for.
And again, a good walking. Brains, I love you guys. That's why I like to bring you interesting, informative information. Be open to it. Don't judge it. If you've never experienced it, you don't know. Call Francine, call her and talk to her about what your animal may be communicating to you. They may have the winning lottery numbers. You never know. You never know. Please follow us on all of the major hotspots, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify. Follow me. Be sure that we raise those numbers so that we can raise our frequency and make an impact in the world. I love you, Brains. Have a great day. Bye, Frances.
Bye-bye.